Life on Tour acknowledges the traditional owners of the lands upon which this podcast has been recorded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. This episode was recorded on Gadigal land. Hello, hello. And welcome to another episode of Life on Tour, the podcast that celebrates the highs and lows of being a touring musical theatre performer. I'm Manon, your host, and I am so grateful that you are tuning in today. It is such a great episode. I had the best time recording this one with such an incredible guest. I just want to apologize for any background music that background music? No, there's no background music. For any background noise that might happen in this intro here, it is just so hot here in Sydney that I've just had to open the doors and windows to get some air in. Otherwise, I would be sweating and I'd probably break all my equipment. Okay, now it is a bit of a longer episode today, so I'm not going to take up too much of your time with this intro, but I did want to have a chat about this incredible guest. It is, of course, Zoe Coppinger, and she is currently the Elphaba standby in the Australian production of Wicked, now playing at the Sydney Lyric Theatre. I saw the show with Zoe playing Elphaba a few weeks ago, and she was just incredible. The whole show was absolutely incredible. Now, if you're wondering what a standby actually is and whether standing by is different or is the same as understudying or swinging, I'm going to try to explain. So understudies usually go on for other roles. And by that, I mean they normally are performing 8 times a week in the ensemble or as supporting roles while still understudying, you know, a principal role or a lead role. Now, swings are usually either on stage or off stage, and they normally, like, not all the time, you know, everything is different, but swings normally cover those, you know, ensemble and supporting roles. But yeah, like I just said, that's not always the case. You know, we talk about it in the conversation today. Zoe was a swing on Muriel's Wedding while also covering Muriel. So, you know, it's sort of, there's no sort of blanket rules, but this was my general understanding of everything, like when I left drama school. So a standby does not do the show every day because their job is to be ready at any moment to go to the stage and cover a role, normally a very big role. So Elphaba is one of the most challenging roles for women in musical theatre. And Zoe, as the Elphaba standby, is absolutely crucial to the smooth running of the production. So she goes on twice a week for Elphaba and she is ready to go at any moment. She is backstage, ready and primed to be thrown on if she needs to be at any time. It just blows my mind how intricate these, you know, the backbone of productions are. And that is what standbys, understudies, swings, that is what they are. They are the backbone to all productions because you have to have these incredibly talented people in place for, you know, for any situation. And it's just, it was so fascinating hearing about what Zoe's week looks like, what she gets up to, what her, you know, sort of mental focus is like and what her mindset is. It is just such an incredible conversation. Now, Zoe is also just such an industry pro with years and years of experience in a number of shows like Gypsy, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, 9 to 5, Fiddler on the Roof, Nice Work If You Can Get It, Muriel's Wedding, and so, so many. Like, her CV is extensive. She has understudied, she's swung, she's played principal roles, she has done it all. And I just absolutely loved this conversation with Zoe. I loved hearing about her approach to the work, to life. And you'll be able to tell within the first few minutes, she is just one of the most vibrant, positive people. You know, talking to her and even re-editing the conversation just made me feel so happy and so inspired to go and have, you know, a really empowering perspective on life. So I'm sure that you are going to enjoy this conversation as much as I did. And also, in the first few minutes of the conversation, Zoe shares a very vulnerable story about seeing a psychic. So thank you so much, Zoe, for sharing that. It's such an incredible story. But before we get into the chat with Zoe, I just have one thing to talk about. And, well, it's a question, really. I wanted to ask you, are you feeling generous today? Because you don't have to be. And if you're not, quite frankly, like, that is so fine. I only ask because I have just set up a page for Life on Tour Pod called Buy Me a Coffee. And if you are feeling generous today, you don't have to be. It's not your job to give me your money. Like, I, you know, it's pretty audacious of me to ask. But if you are feeling generous, I'm going to pop the link in the description, and the link is also on the Instagram, and you can pop on there and buy me a coffee to help support the show. It would mean a lot, but also, like, I'm not going to be, like, upset if you don't, because, like, the audacity of asking people for money. But hey, you know, there is no pressure. If you were, you know, just standing there with $5 thinking, ah, gosh, I don't want this anymore. I need to give it to something or someone. Gosh, what will I do? You can donate that to help the podcast, to support with the running costs of it, or you could not. You know, it's really up to you. And there's no pressure at all. It'll be fine. It's fine. Oh gosh. All right. I've absolutely nailed that. So now, without further ado, let's get into the chat with Zoe Coppinger. I'm actually quite surprised to see this guest here, because I was under the impression that stars were only visible at night. So thank you for coming here during the day.
Stop that.
It's the absolute star, Zoe Coppinger. She's here in the studio apartment. Zoe, how are you today?
I'm good, Moochie. Thanks for having me.
It is honestly my pleasure. Now, we're going to talk about so much stuff, and I am so excited to get your insights and experiences. I also just wanted to mention, like, you are playing the Elphaba Standby in Wicked, which is just so fantastic. I saw Zoe perform on Wednesday. She was, there are no words available in the English language to describe it. It was transcendent. It was world class. You were absolutely incredible. I was sobbing in Defying Gravity. My partner can vouch for that. Literally.
And stage door, he's like, she was. She really was. I was like, okay.
Yeah, so if you're lucky enough to see Zoe as Elphaba, it is just so amazing. And we're going to talk all about it.
Can't wait.
But first,
yes,
before we get started,
yes,
can you please tell me the story about how you saw a psychic?
Yes. Okay. I tell everyone this story because I'm just, like, obsessed.
I love it.
So I was a bit, like, skeptical of psychics in general.
Yeah.
And I'd never been to one before, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try it. A few people had recommended this certain one in Melbourne, and I was like, I'm just going to give it a whirl. So I went, and she does, like, spirits. So there's actually someone who has passed that comes and they talk to you. And it's weird because by the end of the session, it's like you're talking to the spirit. You don't even feel like she's there, which was really whack. Like, it was so weird. Gosh. And when I went, I was like, in a bit of a funky spot, in the sense of I hadn't done a tour in a while. I hadn't worked in probably, like, 8 months, which is not a crazy amount of time, because I feel like, you know, there's stretches that go longer than that.
Yeah,
but I felt like I was in, like, a really good spot, like, in all of my training and everything. So I was like, oh, why is this not happening? So I was like, I just want to hear about my career, my love life, and that my family's okay. They were, like, my three things that I wanted to know.
Yeah.
And my pa was my spirit, which was my mum's dad, and it straight up, she was like, he's saying this weird saying that I don't understand. And I was like, oh, what's the saying? And she was like, he's saying that you tread the boards, and I don't know what that means. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I had said nothing about me. She didn't know my last name. She didn't have me on Facebook, anything like that. And my pa passed away actually in, like, when I was in grade year seven. So I didn't even – Facebook or anything then. So she couldn't have known him through my social media. And I was like, oh, my God. And she was like, do you know what that means? I was like, yes, I do. And then she was like, he's seeing you with Hugh Jackman. And I was like, Hugh Jackman? And like, as you know, we see like things come out. We know kind of what's coming up in the year or whatever, show-wise. And I was like, there's nothing with Hugh Jackman. Oh, gosh, she's done a bum steer here.
Oh, no.
And then he just keeps saying Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Sure. Anyway, went on with the session, and at the end of the recording, I didn't record any of it. Like, I didn't voice memo it or anything. And I was like, damn it. And I said to her, I was like, oh, I didn't record it. And she's like, oh, you have a really good memory. You won't need to. And I was like,
oh my God,
that's weird. And then I kind of didn't really think anything of it. But then as things started happening, I was like, oh my God, this is what she said. This is what she said. So in the July that year or June, I got The Boy from Oz, which was related to Hugh Jackman. And
yes.
I was like, oh my gosh. Oh. It was Rowan Brown, but
Same.
And then later that year, I got Muriel's and our tour went Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what is happening? Like, that is just so crazy. Like,
oh my God.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
And then I actually went back to her during 9 to 5 last year.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, oh, I haven't been to her since like early 2018 and like a lot has happened, a lot of time has passed and a lot's changed and COVID and everything.
Yeah.
So I went back with the same intentions, theatre, love life, family. They were like my three things. And this time my nan actually, who was my pa's wife, she was my spirit this time and she had passed during COVID and I was super, super close with my nan.
Yeah.
And she straight away chimed in and the psychic was like, she's jumping around like crazy, being like, oh my God, congratulations, finally. This is so exciting, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? Like, this is what's happening? Like, what is it? And then the psychic goes, which is so something my nan would say. She was like, but she's going, oh, that bit's a bit sexy. And I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
I'm literally like, there's nothing unless I don't know, did Moulin Rouge or something. Like, it's not sexy. Like, what? I'm so confused. And then I was like, oh, once again, didn't think anything of it. Didn't even know Wicked was coming at the time.
Oh, my God.
And then got this crazy role as the standby.
Oh, my God.
And then I was still like, oh, she's not right because, like, there's nothing, like, sexy. And then we learnt As Long As You're Mine. And I was like, that is exactly what she would be talking about. Like,
that is
100%.
Sexy. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So I'm like, it's just wild, just so wild. And, like, obviously you can't read into everything they say and that's why I try and forget what they say. But then as things come up, I was like, no, she definitely said that. That's weird.
Oh, my God.
Like, and I made sure to tell, like, especially my family straight after the session, like, what she said so that I wasn't just, like, this crazy person trying to make things up, like, as they went along, like, oh no, the psychic said.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That I have chills.
It's
that,
so strange.
That is remarkable.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting. I was going to ask, like, do you, and you've kind of already answered it, but when, you know, you get these revelations from a psychic, do you ever find yourself sort of stuff starts happening? You're like, oh, this is what the psychic said. Does that ever add any pressure to you, do you think? Or?
I don't think so. I think, I don't know. I think I try to be like, not be, you know, like if I was auditioning for something, I wouldn't be like, oh, this is potentially what, you know, like what she said type thing. Like, I try to just be like, yeah, half the time I'd forget what she said. And then it wasn't until it would happen that I'd be like, oh my gosh. That's this.
That is just so remarkable. Thank you for sharing that with me. That's actually blown my mind.
I know.
I can't believe you went back.
It's so wild.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you are the Elphaba standby in Wicked, the Australian tour. Absolutely huge. The most challenging female role, arguably, in musical theatre. Can you tell me a little bit about what the process has been like, what you love about doing it?
What's it all about? What is being the Elphaba standby?
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like to think, I don't know, I just think that it's never, one thing that I think is really important is that it's never lost on me what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like I think that the grandeur of it is just insane. Like I have moments where, I mean, I did have a moment actually the other week where I was singing For Good with Courtney and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm playing Elphaba in Wicked. And then I just didn't sing and I left Courtney and Courtney just sung on her own. Oh, no. And I was like, Zoe, concentrate. Like no. I was just having such a moment because it's just such a wild thing that I just didn't, like little Zoe would just be like, what? Like this is happening kind of thing, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing. It's been amazing. Where to start?
What was the audition process like?
The audition process was like really great. I actually found this panel to be one of the most like supportive and warm panels that I've been in front of in a really long time.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, like I felt really comfy. Everything was really positive and constructive. Like I love when you go in for an audition and, you know, you sing whatever the piece is and they actually give you constructive feedback for the callback. Mm. Like our music director, DY, gave me like four little tidbits and he was like, this, and this, come back and that will just help you like immensely. And I was practicing at home and I'm like, oh my gosh, it does. It helps amazingly. Like it's so great.
That's so good.
And so we had a couple of a fair few rounds.
Yeah.
And then I remember sitting in the hairdressers one day and my agent called me and she was like, I think you have to go back in again because the American director is going to come out to Australia and you're going to have to do all of the Elphaba stuff for her. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Like this is crazy. Like because normally the Americans are there throughout the process if that's the case.
Yeah, and really surprised
me. Yeah. And so we just thought, oh, we're just – the Aussies are going to cast it and obviously filming everything and sending it over to America to get approved, of course. But, and then my audition with Lisa was so – it went for a long time and I just felt like – you know when sometimes you audition, you just don't – time doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
You don't know what you said or did in that room. You're just like, it happened and I think it went well, but I don't really know.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah. And then I was away water skiing with my family and
amazing.
Yeah.
Water skiing.
I know.
I'm obsessed.
We go every year. And I remember we went out for dinner with my sisters and a friend and – I was a bit on edge because we hadn't heard anything and whatever. And then we got in the car and my whole family and all my friends are pretty much muggles. So it's like they were like not really understanding my like anxiousness towards it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I pulled out my phone and I was like, oh, my agent just called and I missed it. And I was like, guys, I'm really sorry. I'm either going to be in a super good mood after this phone call or a really bad one.
Oh, my God.
And I know. And I got out and I called her back. And my sister actually filmed the phone call, which I had no idea at the time. And
oh, my God.
It's actually like it's such a special video to have because, excuse my language, but the whole time I'm like, shit, what? Like me? Just like so insane.
Oh, my God.
So insane. And it's just like so nice. I don't know. I guess that like I have been in the industry for a while now, but it's just so nice to think that like, I don't know, I just felt like, oh, so privileged that a team like – is able to like take a chance on me and like, you know, and be able to be like, no, we believe she can do it and like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
But you've also shown them that you can.
Yeah.
You know, you're like a good True. Investment. They can see.
And then, yeah, we were into shows and from then on it's like the first show, I'm such a perfectionist.
Yeah, right.
And Which is so, like, was so hard with this because
yeah,
you can't be at the start.
Those two things. Yeah, for sure. Especially as a standby when, you know, like as a principal, you get a lot of time to rehearse and then there's so much stuff that you can sort of work out on the floor. But as an understudy kind of across the board, you don't really have that time.
Get that time,
so
no.
How did you deal with that?
Yeah, I definitely think that the people living either side of me in my apartment think I had split personality disorder because I would be like rehearsing at night in my apartment and like doing it flat out because I was like, how do I gain stamina, like all this stuff, and I was like, they're gonna think I'm crazy. Oh, like they're gonna think I've lost the plot. I was like, oh my gosh. No. But it's amazing from like my first performance that I did to like even three performances after that, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a world of difference, like in stamina, in confidence, in everything. And I do have to say, and a lot of people in our cast have said this, we have a really great like group of people, including every department from top down. And I've never felt more supported than I did going on. Like every time I would walk past a mech, a dresser, a cast member, stage manager, they'd all be like, you good? You need anything? Like, aww, they were just so supportive. And it makes a world of difference knowing that they're on your side. Yeah. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but it doesn't always happen. You know what I mean? Yeah, I feel like sometimes you feel like, oh, I may have been in the wrong spot. So that person's now like, oh, that mucked up my track or whatever it may be. But this group are just like so supportive. And I feel like the same, you know, I don't want to speak for anyone, but when understudies go on and swings go on and everything, I feel like everyone's just so supportive. It's so nice.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely comes from, yeah, it comes from our creative team. It comes from our stage management, our company management. Yeah, it's really, really nice. It's so nice. Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Because understudies, I mean, it seems like an obvious thing to say, but understudies are literally the backbone of productions.
100%.
They keep things going. They should be so highly valued. And maybe sometimes, you know, in shows there can be a tendency to take them for granted.
Totally.
So that's so good to hear that you are highly valued in the way that you should be.
Yeah.
And what does like an average week look like for you? Do you have to be green every day? Like what's the go? What is standing by?
Yeah, so I don't have to be green, which is kind of nice.
That's a big slay.
My skin.
Well, when you go on,
I have to be green.
Yeah.
So
it's just not green, this performance.
It's not. She's not happy. She doesn't want to do it. Nah, it's fine.
Sorry, guys.
So I have two scheduled shows a week.
Amazing.
Which is so nice. And every other show, I guess, I go to company warm up and hang out with the company. I like stay there for all their notes and things like that. And any, like if a swing's on or something, I'll stay and watch the run through of their rehearsal because I just like, you know, being there for everyone and supporting and stuff. And then overnight I'll do all different things. Like I'll go into the rehearsal room and practice like other vocal things. I'll chill out in my dressing room. It's actually so nice because I mean really the only long day is Saturday because I'm not on for the doubles on Saturday. So I'm Wednesday, Sunday. So every other show, it's kind of good because throughout the days I can do like all the things I want to do. And then when I get to the theater, it can kind of be like my chill time if I know that I'm not on and that kind of thing. And obviously I always have to be ready to go, you know, vocally and everything. But it's kind of nice. And like I'll hang out with the swings, which is super fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, but on my show days, I'm so OCD with my my routine.
Right. Tell me, what do you do?
Oh my God, everyone laughs at me. I'm so OCD. And I always am like, if I forget something, like I'll muck it up. Like it's so stupid.
No.
It's stupid.
Not. You do whatever works for you.
Yeah, 100%. So I get up in the mornings. I'm the matinee gal. So I get up in the mornings.
It's a big slay.
A big slay. And I don't talk for half an hour.
Yeah.
And then I go for a big walk. Mm-hmm. And on the walk, I'll start doing like lip trills and those sort of things. I'll call my family because that's how I wake up my voice. I'll talk to mum or my sisters or my dad, which is so nice. And like we try to always keep it like super light and everything because Alphabet can be a bit heavy sometimes. So just try and keep everything light and all that kind of stuff, catch up on them and what they're doing that day and that kind of thing.
Do you mean like emotionally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like so I think that, I think it's nice to be, to always keep it fun and light and, you know, nothing too serious. Keep the serious stuff for the Monday, Tuesdays. I get to the theatre an hour before the hour and I do a full physical and full vocal warm-up of my own.
Yeah.
And then I definitely always sing The Wizard and I because it's a good indicator of where your voice is that day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
why that one?
I don't know. It's weirdly tricky. Like I love The Wizard and I because it's such an acting piece, which I love.
Yeah.
But it's vocally, it's just like it'll catch you out. Like if you're having a bit of a day, like it's like, oh, there it is in The Wizard and I, like, you know, straight away.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Which is so interesting. Oh, like I know that like in my warm up, if like my last note's a bit funky, then I'll be like, okay, I really need to support in that last note. Like when I get to that. And I think too, as well, which you would have seen is like in Defying Gravity, a lot of the time that we're singing, we're standing still or it's only slight movement, whereas The Wizard and I is like, walk that way, run that way, walk that way.
That's
like,
true. You are, so, you're running around.
Yeah.
So like excited. It's,
yeah. So I always do that. I always run my As Long As Your Mind harmonies because I had a moment very early on where I just started singing Liam's harmony and then I was like, I couldn't find my harmony and it was like I'd never sung before. I was going all over the shop. I was like, no. Like it was so bad. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was thinking in my head, I'm like, Liam, help me. But he can't help me. How can he help me?
Like, he's like,
yeah. He's like, I'm singing mine. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm singing mine. Then I go and sit in and get ready to get green by my green team and like which is great. And I always, when I get green, I play acoustic hits. And like make sure that it's a really like just happy, fun, light environment getting ready for the show.
Yeah.
And there's constantly people coming in and out all the time. Like so many people coming in and out of the room. But it's a nice environment and I'm very lucky with my team.
Yeah.
That do it all for me. So yeah.
How long does that take to get green?
Well, it takes the whole hour. So essentially like they start at the hour call and we're getting dressed at beginners, if not just after. And like, I mean, obviously they could do it a lot quicker if they wanted to, but they make sure it's like perfection and that we're, you know, feeling ourselves and everything. So they like take their time, which is great. I love. And they take such care in how we look and everything, which is really nice.
Yeah. It's such beautiful makeup.
It really is.
I was sitting in row AA on Wednesday.
You were.
I was seeing everything up close and personal and I was here for it. And that makeup was flawless and gorgeous and contoured and
Eyes.
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
We're so lucky.
Yeah.
Like so lucky. Sometimes I'm like, oh, look at this. Like,
yeah,
it's so cool.
Let's throw it back.
Please.
To your first show, how did everything start for you? What's your career been like? As summarized as you can be with it, because that's, you know, you've had so many amazing experiences and such an expansive, incredible career. But how did it start? And, you know, what have you loved about it? What's your experience been?
So my first show was Gypsy with the production company when I was 18.
You were 18.
I was a little baby.
Wow, that is incredible. So you hadn't like sort of been to drama school or anything like that.
No.
Were you straight out of school and you auditioned?
Yeah. So I did like a full-time course. Like, I went to a performing arts school in Melbourne. As like a dance school.
Yeah, right.
While I was at high school. And they were like a very serious dance school. And the principals like were in the industry when they were younger. So they kind of would just send us off for auditions. When I was in year 12, they would, you know, send us off to like cruise ship auditions and Universal Studios so that we could get practice of being in an audition room. And like they knew we couldn't get the job because we were 16, 17. So yeah, we couldn't ever go because we weren't allowed. We weren't legally, you know, allowed to.
Oh, right. Child labor laws.
Yeah, not allowed. Yeah, so we would get really great practice doing that.
That's so great.
Yeah. And then it was my first, I guess, professional music theatre audition was for Gypsy. And I remember it just being such a whirlwind. And I remember being in the room with women that I had watched in the last, you know, however long, going to shows with my family. And I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm performing alongside them. Like I'm auditioning with them. This is crazy. Oh, this is so crazy. And then, yeah, I ended up getting that, which was, it was just so amazing. It was so cool. And I remember it was so funny because some people who were in that show that then I did shows with further down the track, they were like, oh my gosh, you speak. Because in Gypsy, I was so scared and I didn't know what to expect. So I just was dead silent. Oh, and I just was like, at lunch, I'd be like, yeah. And just try to like take it all in and everything. And I loved the experience, but I loved learning from all those people, like, yeah, and their experiences. And some of them had been in the industry for 10 years already. And I'm like, wow, like this is so cool to just learn from them.
Oh my gosh.
And then, yeah. And then from there, I got into Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which was awesome as well. Oh, and it's actually so funny because I got offered Swing. And I didn't even know what a Swing was.
Oh my God.
And so incredible. My dance teacher had to explain to me what a Swing was. And I was like, okay. And so that was a whole nother experience in itself to be able to learn how to swing and that kind of thing. But I kind of thrived off it. I really liked it. And once again, we had some amazing people in that cast, like learning from Tony Sheldon and Matt Hetherington, and then in the ensemble, like Zoe Gertz and Lisa Sontag. Like, yeah, it was just so amazing to, you know, be in dressing room with those people and be like, oh, wow, this is so cool. And then from then on, I did a fair few with the production company, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful company to work for, and cool to do different shows. Like, I loved that.
So great.
And then I kind of like found myself, I did Fiddler, which was awesome because it was a non-dance show. So
Of course.
It was the first show that I was like, okay. And it was the first show that I covered a lead. So it was fun to be able to be like, okay, this is cool. Like, I'm doing a different kind of show to what I would normally do. And I'm getting to learn how to cover. And that experience and doing cover calls and all that kind of thing, and being able to work with the resident director and the music director and find your version of whatever that character may be.
Yeah,
so that was fun.
So you found that different to swinging?
Yeah, I did, because I feel like swinging, weird for me, a lot of it is on your, I mean, it's all on your time, but like, swinging's very different in cover calls. Like, the focus is sort of not on you in the nicest way. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, it is and it isn't, because, you know, I feel like, I don't know how to explain it. That's tricky. Right. But yeah, I feel like as a cover, you're being given a lot of direction and that kind of thing within it. But as a swing, my experiences have been like, I'll move out to 8 or get more on 2 or, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's not as character based. It's not as in depth in that, like, once you know the chore and you know where you stand and you know your harmonies, you're like, then you can make it what you will, but you don't have a lot of direction, I guess, in that sense. I find, I find that. And then I guess after that, I did Muriel's with you.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Oh, it was so good.
It was so good. And I feel like Muriel's was a big turning point for me in a lot of ways. I was also swinging on that.
So the Swing and Muriel cover.
Swing and Muriel cover, which is crazy.
How many tracks did you cover as a Swing?
I covered 9.
And Muriel on top of it. Yeah.
Muriel's was like tricky because it was all characters essentially, besides only a few. It was like three ensemble members, but like they were all characters because it's the Bridesmaids and Joanie and Abba and all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like necessarily a normal Swing.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It
was a lot of kind of principal roles in that show.
Yeah. That also did ensemble numbers. So you were kind of doubling up. In a sense.
So true.
Yeah.
Why was that a turning point for you?
I think for a few reasons. I think that I kind of made a little pact with myself that unless it was like a real dream show or I wanted a real challenge in a different way, that I probably wouldn't swing again after that.
Yeah, right.
And I think for many reasons, but I'd swung twice before that and I was kind of like, it just doesn't fill my cup up the way that I would want it to. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I can't be the best version of myself in what I'm doing, then I shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I just think that like if that gives someone else an opportunity, then that's what it does, you know? And I think that you have to put out into the universe what you want.
Mm.
And if it's not there, then don't take it kind of thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because totally. I just think that like I'm not going to make the people around me happy if I'm not happy. And I don't like being that person.
Yeah.
Like I like to try and – I try my best. I'm probably so annoying, but I like to try and, you know, like, I like to try and just be a positive vibe around the building as much as I can because, you know, I think that one of our directors in 9 to 5 actually said to us, and I was like, it's so true. You're always living someone else's dream. So no matter what it is.
That is so true. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really do believe that because, you know, even before I started 10 years ago, it was my dream. But then when I'm on a break and a large break from not working, it's still my dream and someone else is doing it. And that's amazing for them. And I can't wait for the next time that I'm doing it. It doesn't take anything away from that person or anything like that. But yeah, you're just like, oh, that is the dream.
Aww.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that.
Yeah. I think that's why. And I loved Muriel's. I loved it. It's like an epic show and
epic,
just so fun. Like so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a good – and I loved that portion of my life. It was great. But it was also a good thing to be like, okay, this is what I want now and that's fine.
Mm.
And then I think from there – it kind of led to really cool stuff. Like I got to do 9 to 5, which was amazing. And mind you, we were meant to start bang on COVID times, which is crazy.
That's right.
Yeah, we were a week off starting. Yep. And I remember our company manager being like, because I had an Airbnb booked for Sydney. And I remember like, just tell them it's a week and we'll be back in a week, you know, like we all did with everything. And I was 2 years later.
Oh, my God.
Which is crazy.
But it did end up reopening. How it long did. After COVID was that?
So we started rehearsals in the Jan of 2022.
Okay.
So they like made sure, I'm guessing, that it was like well past a time where we might be stopping and starting a bit, like with COVID. And 9 to 5 was like, it was so great. It was just such a great contract. And I got to cover Marina Pryor and Casey Donovan, which is like
incredible.
Wild.
Yeah.
Just wild.
Yeah.
Who are both absolute gems, by the way. Like,
oh my gosh.
Marina is just one of my favorite humans ever. Like, that is a woman, actually, who just knows how to lead a company in the best possible way.
Yeah, right.
Like, with, like, humor and love and support and just, oh, she's just a superwoman. Like, she really is. And I would – every day I'd be like, you're amazing. Like, she's just so incredible.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
So that was really cool to watch as well.
Yeah, it's so important to have that. It does kind of trickle down, I find. Like
100%.
From the principles down. I don't know why. I don't know why it's so hierarchical like that, but it's kind of like if a principal is having a great time, everyone's having a great time a lot of the time.
100%.
Yeah.
And like we said, because it was a very like female dominated show, which I loved.
Yeah.
And so our leading ladies were Marina, Casey, Erin Clare, and Caroline O'Connor.
Incredible.
And the four of them, the way that they got along and the way that they just like, we would just always see them laughing and having a great time. And it was that thing because it created such a fun vibe within the building and it was a fun show. So it was really important to be that way. And yeah. So it does trickle down. And I think that, you know, we always used to say in warm up, we're like, have a look at them. Like they're all just like having the time of their lives. Like it's so good.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Good. And then, yeah, and then we finished that. And then here we are with Wicked. So 10 years on, I'm doing like my first like actual, I guess, yeah, first role, principal role.
Yeah.
Role.
That's role.
Yeah.
And it's like, it must be, well, I don't know. Actually, we'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, like, as we've just talked about, you've understudied, you swung so much and you've understudied so much and you've understudied so many challenging roles. Like, you know, it was Judy was the big like get out and stay out in 9 to 5, like huge fucking scene. Incredible. And obviously Elphaba, you know, the arguably the most challenging female role in musical theatre.
Totally.
And even Muriel in Muriel's Wedding, like such a tough scene. Like how did you imagine from the beginning of your career that you would, you know, end up understudying so much? Or
I don't know. I'm not sure. I always wanted to. Like as soon as I knew, like I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But as soon as I knew it was a thing, I was like, oh, I want that. Like I want that challenge and I want that. And I think I like to think that I just constantly want to be better and get better. And so I think that kind of drive has helped me because I've always been like, oh, I want a new challenge and I want a new this and I want a new that. So I think every time and like even with Elphaba, like I'll do things, I'll do a show and then after the show I'll be like, oh, I just didn't sing that as well as I wanted to. And everyone's like, no, it sounded fine. And I'm like, no, it wasn't fine. Like, you know, I'm like, I need it to be better. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that it can be a detriment to myself sometimes, totally. But then I like to think that it's always going to like make me better and challenge myself because I never want to be complacent in what I do. Yeah.
Okay. So like the challenges, I guess, do you mean, you know, like, I don't know. What are the challenges that you enjoy about it?
I love the challenge of having to, especially as an understudy, Elphaba was a bit different, but being able to be in the right position for your fellow actor or your fellow cast members and everything like that, but also having the challenge to be able to make it your own and have your own little quirks and everything on it. And I think that's what I love about Elphaba is that it is very structured in where we need to be and how it needs to be done and all that kind of stuff. But you do have like little leeways where you can make it your own.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think my challenge too is to, I guess, keep it fresh, I think, as well on this because in the past, because I have been an understudy, I'd be doing my ensemble track and then every so often I would go on for my cover. And so you might have one or two goes at the cover and it just like is this crazy whirlwind and it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then you go back to your ensemble track and you get to do your amazing job every day in your ensemble track and that's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
Whereas this, because I've only got the one thing and this is actually, it was so crazy. I said when I first started this contract, it's the first time since like Gypsy that I only have to learn one harmony, one track.
That's so true.
Because I've always either covered or swung. So I've had multiple tracks to learn in multiple harmonies and multiple things. Yeah. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. Oh, better get it right.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so I think being able to keep it fresh because I am just doing the one role.
Mm.
But I think doing it twice a week still has that element of being fresh because, yeah, because you're like, oh, well, what's today going to bring? Let's go. Let's do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think as we're getting into the season as well, you're constantly finding new things with, you know, I constantly find new things with Courtney who plays Glinda and
yeah.
and Liam who plays Fiero that you're like, oh, or Todd as the wizard. You can kind of like play and find little things, which is also really nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes, you know, that made me think of like keeping it fresh and stuff and having, I guess, that consistency in the role that you're standing by for where you know you're going to be playing it at least twice a week.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes I think like when I would be in a show and play a role and I'd mess something up or not be satisfied with a certain aspect of the performance, a good way of like framing that would be like, well, I get to do it again tomorrow. It'll be better then.
100%.
But maybe like if you're going on for an understudy, you might only get one go at it and it would be very hard. Like if you were thinking, oh no, I messed up that bit. Oh, how annoying. I may not get another opportunity to improve it, I guess, or do better next time.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It's so, so true.
It must be good like to know that you're like, okay, well, that note felt like this. I'm going to do it differently on Sunday.
Yeah.
When I go on again.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And I think too, like being, I feel very lucky to be able to do the two shows a week because I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe in America, the standby is a pure standby. So they don't do any scheduled shows.
Yeah.
And
right.
I think that would be so tricky because I just doing the two, especially for my stamina, is just like had made a world of difference, especially at the beginning. Because, you know, and I think as well for like all the other people in the show, I'm sure it's a lot easier now because they know exactly what I'm going to do on my shows. They know exactly what Sherry's going to do on her shows. And yeah, I think now I hope everyone's used to it.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And what do you think, like, are there any aspects of being a standby that, you know, are not like things that you dislike, but maybe things that require a little bit more tolerance than other things? In the job, like, are there any of those things for you?
Ooh.
If there are, like, how do you counteract them? If not, then why not, I guess?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I feel like for me, a lot of the stuff that is, you know, can sometimes be frustrating or sometimes be, you know, making me feel a certain way is more a me thing.
Yeah, right.
Than a situational or, I don't know how to explain it, but rather than the actual job, it's more of my problem of, oh, I'm feeling this certain way. And I think that's what I found actually going back to the swinging thing is it's such a mindset. And I have a friend at the moment who's swinging and I always chat to her about it because I said to her, you know, it's really important. And I don't know if I think it's the same with understudying and it's the same with being a standby. It's really important to voice how you're feeling about certain situations. So important.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to anyone in the building, but to an outsource that knows what's going on, that understands, has been in that situation before, can chat to you about it. Because I feel like if you don't, then it bottles up, becomes this huge thing in your head that actually doesn't even exist. But I think if you talk about it, you can be like, oh, that was either something really silly that I just, you know, I didn't even think about that in a certain way, or that's more a reflection on how I'm feeling at the moment.
Mm.
And I think it is a real mindset thing that if you can be like, I hate being an understudy. And then all you're going to do is hate that entire contract. But if you turn your mindset and you're like, this is actually a really good opportunity for me to work on this sort of vocal track or this sort of acting role that I've never done before. And you're like, I still might not like understudying, but in the back of your mind, you're like, well, this is actually an opportunity to do X, Y, Z. You're going to enjoy it so much more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and so, totally.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the time it's more about you and how you're feeling, and, you know, it might be what you're going through in your life at that point in time or anything like that. But I think, yeah, at the moment, standing by is fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And, you know, Sheridan makes my life so easy. She's so beautiful.
Aww.
And just so easy to work with. And, you know, we actually are like ships in the night. We don't really see each other.
Oh my God, of course.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird.
Playing the same role, but never really
just don't
see
each other. Yeah. And like, I have started to try and go into her dressing room because we don't go, if we're on that day, we don't go to warm up because we have to be green. We have to be greeny at that point in time.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So the first time you see everyone is when you run out on stage. That's the first time you see the cast. So I try and go into Sherry's dressing room and like be like, hey, how you going? And like blah, 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 and just like annoy her for a little bit and then get out of there just so that, like, I don't know, she sees someone from the cast and whatnot. But yeah, she's so beautiful, and I feel very lucky to be sharing it with her.
Yeah.
And watching her do her thing as well. It's amazing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And what do you think are some of the qualities that make a good, you know, cover, understudy, swing, standby? I know they're all quite different, but like,
but
what
I
do you think
the same in the qualities though?
Okay. What do you think those qualities are?
I think patience is a very, very big one.
Okay.
Patience.
Like with yourself,
with the job. I think that, you know, sometimes, like, I know in Fiddler, I didn't go on for my covers ever in the whole season.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't a long season, don't get me wrong. But I think that, once again, a reflection on you is your goal. It depends where you put yourself as your goals, right? So, like, my goal shouldn't be like, I need to play that role that many times in that tour, because that's out of my control. I can't control that. And we can't control a lot of things in our industry anyway. But I think, so I think you just have to be patient with yourself, with the process, with how it all works.
Yeah.
I think you have to be resilient, because you just never know what's going to be thrown at you that day and how you're going to deal with it and what's going to happen. Gosh, I think you have to be positive. Positive is definitely, and I'm not saying everyone has their bad days. You're allowed to have your bad days. But I think the old saying of, like, leave your shit at the door is just so important.
Oh, I love
you
that.
You have to leave it at the door, and you do your job. And then as soon as you walk out that door, you can take on life's problems, whatever it may be. But while you're in the building, you just need, it's a workplace at the end of the day. So you need to do your job and get it done and then walk out again at the end of the day. What else? I feel like also, which is hard coming from me because I am a perfectionist, but you have to learn to let things go, which I'm still working on.
Yeah, right.
But you do.
That would be so hard.
You really do.
That would be really, really hard.
Yeah. Because like you said, it's never going to – you just never – especially as a swinger and understudy, if you are only going on sporadically – it's never going to be 100% perfect, because it can't be. It like physically can't be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're always going to have something where you're like, oh my gosh, I nailed that part, but I sung the alto harmony instead of soprano harmony. It's like, well, that's just what happened today. We're going to have to just work on that for next time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I love what you said about resilience and positivity, because I think those two things are like super duper linked. I think there's a certain level of positivity in terms of viewing a situation that really like counters into resilience. And it, like, I don't know, for me, I completely understand how, I guess, like, frustrating it would be for someone who, you know, for example, like, if you weren't the standby in Alpha Bar and you didn't have two scheduled shows, to be completely sort of ready to go for
you know, 2 years and never go on. Like, I understand how that would be frustrating. And, 100%. You know, like, I've encountered a lot of times where people have, you know, been feeling unfulfilled and quite frustrated about not being able to go on. And I completely understand that. And I think that would be really hard. But I love what you said about, like, finding the opportunities and the things to work on, because it's not in your control whether you're going to go on or not.
Yeah.
And the gig is not going on. The gig is understudy in case you have to go on, which is like, can be such a hard thing, 100%. I think, to come to terms with.
And I think, you know, as you get older or further into your career, whatever way it is, you begin to realize that and you begin to see, like, my ensemble track is so great. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we forget that.
Yeah.
Like, I, especially like in 9 to 5, like post COVID, just being on stage every night, I was like, oh, this is just so cool. Yeah. I could have been a clock on the back wall and I would have been happy. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's so important. And then, like, I got a chance to go on for my understudies and that is amazing. That's so great. But like you said, my job is my ensemble track. Yeah. That is my job.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that that's really important to remember. And I remember, you might remember this too,
yeah,
but someone also once said to us that it's also like, you know, for example, like you playing Joni, like you're playing the role, but it's not your role. You didn't create it. You didn't, you know, there was a writer somewhere that created that specific role and you're playing a version of, correct.
Yeah.
But you don't own that role and you don't own the rights to be like, but my role does, you know, like, so it's like kind of in the same realm if you are playing the role. It's the same thing. It's like, you're playing the role and that's incredible. You're not like, it's my role.
Yeah,
you know,
the role,
like,
is not you.
Yeah.
It's, yeah,
you're
I totally
a man on
agree.
And then, you know, it's your interpretation of.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I was also thinking, like, when you're covering and you're not going on, or maybe you never go on, you are still doing the work and you're still performing the role, like, in the cover calls, right, and during texts and stuff.
Absolutely.
But you don't, I think, get the validation and the feedback that, you know, people who play that role or go on every night get from the audience, 100%. For example. So there's like so much resilience there as well, where you, I feel like you'd have to back yourself so much and be like, yeah, I nailed that.
Absolutely.
Because you're not necessarily like
getting the laughter or the applause or the
Yeah. And sometimes I think, you know, in note sessions, when residents do note sessions, they're trying to figure out how to make it better. And usually that is by focusing on things that could be improved.
100%.
So sometimes you're not getting that sort of like, you did so good kind of thing.
Totally. And I think on that point too, you make a really good point of like, I think that people also forget that, and I found this especially in Fiddler, I kind of like was like, this is sometimes like cover calls is sometimes a better version than doing it in front of an audience, because like you're doing it for a creative team that can help you, can guide you, are like seeing your hard work. They're seeing this. So I think that's important too, because I think a lot of people think like, oh, here we go, cover calls. Like we've got to rock up. We've got to do it on Tuesday, Thursday. It's like, yeah, but they're like, these people are actually so important to see your improvement, to see that your dedication is there, to see that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think definitely. It's so important. And I think that it also is that age-old thing, isn't it, that, and like I don't really think this way, but it's on the train of this kind of line, is that like you just never know who's going to be where in some point in your career or in your life.
So true.
Do you know what I mean?
That is so true.
Like, you know, and like now, because our industry is so wonderful in this way, like there are dresses that are performers that are, you know, maybe some people that are younger in the industry don't know that they've been, had this amazing career, or they're chaperones or they're mechs or they're something, and they most likely are going to perform again.
Yeah.
But if you're rude to them or you're disrespectful or whatever it may be, it's like you might be, you know, yeah. you might need them on your side one day and they're, and they're not on your side. Yeah. You know, I think that's really important too.
Totally. Yeah, yeah totally. Yeah. I agree. Just don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. It's so hard to be a dick. It's easier to be nice. Just be nice.
I love that. I love that. I have a couple more questions
yes,
for you.
Yes, please.
It seems to me like in the history of me knowing you and experiencing your work as a performer, just like we've done Muriel's Wedding together.
Yeah.
And even in that show, you, I think the first time you went on for Muriel was like right before Muriel's mum's funeral, this huge fucking song where she has to like break down. Zoe's thrown on right beforehand. Oh. She goes on, she's completely unflappable, oh, nails gosh. It out of the park. Even the first time you went on for Joni was midway through the show.
It was too. I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. You hadn't been teched or something. God. Like,
yes.
What is, like, the wildest sort of experience of being thrown on at the last minute? Yeah. Do you get nervous? How on earth do you deal with that?
Yeah.
Please share your secrets.
I think... I think the wildest was the Muriel, the three quarter of the way show swap.
It's insane.
There was just no show stop. It was just off they walk, on I walk.
That's true.
So that was wild. And also in a tragic part of the show, it wasn't in an uplifting part of the show. So no. It was like, okay, I'm going to sing about my mother passing away. Let's go.
Truly.
That was probably the wildest. I remember in Muriel's actually, we used to call me Mid-Show Zoe for a while
Mid-Show
there.
Mid-Show Zoe, that's so true.
Because there was a lot of mid-show swaps for a while there,
oh
which
my
was
God.
Wild. I think it was just the show. It was just, you know, it was wild.
It was a hectic show.
But I always like have a little shit in my pants, always. Like,
yeah, right.
100%. And it's so funny because everyone's like, oh my God, you always seem so calm and just
you
like.
You do always seem so calm.
Yeah, I think I like to think I'm like a duck. And on the top I'm like, doo, 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 and underneath I'm like, like that's the kind of, that's my vibe.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm always like, I'm always so nervous.
Oh my God.
But I just like to be like cool, calm and collected on top because I think that if I exude some sort of like anxiousness towards it or anything like that, then everyone around me is going to feed off that.
Oh.
And I just, for myself, I'm like, if everyone around me can just do their normal thing, which they do, and they're not like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, I've got this. They've got me. Like they do this a billion times. So if I step up a line or if I muck something up, they're going to have my back. You know what I mean? Like, so I think, I definitely always get nervous.
Just blows my mind.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, I've never seen Zoe nervous.
Everyone always says that. And I'm like, I'm shitting my pants. But everyone seriously always says that. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
But no, I definitely get nervous. I think my poor mum, she cops it because I'm always like, mum, and this and this and this. She's like, just take a deep breath. It's fine. Like,
oh,
I'm very, very lucky to have the support system that I have with my family and my friends and stuff. Like, very, very lucky. I can lean on them a lot, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, and they have to put up with, like, the other week, my sister was calling me because we chat every day.
Aww.
And she was calling me and I'm texting her being like, Sam, I'm on complete vocal rest. I can't talk right now. She's okay. And just like doesn't even, you know, kick up a stink about it. Like they just totally understand. And they've just ridden this wave with me. Is that a word? Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
They've ridden this wave with me for 10 years now. And like they've been there through the highs and the lowest of lows, which is, you know, not many people see that. And I think that that's really important actually for people starting out because I think social media has completely changed the game.
Ooh, okay.
In the sense of like it's a highlights reel, right? We sometimes put some tragedies or anything like that on there, but I think everyone sees the cast announcements and they see, you know, you going on for your cover for the first time or they see you being debuted in a show for the first time, which is amazing and we need to celebrate the wins because I feel like especially sometimes we're so hard on ourselves as performers that we don't always celebrate the good stuff. So it is really, really important. But from an outside looking in, it could be like, oh, that person's always really successful. But they're not necessarily, you know what I mean? It's just because they put, you know, and I'm guilty of it. I always put the good stuff on. But it's like you didn't see how not getting that show, getting down to the end for that show and not getting it really affected me.
Yeah.
Or you didn't see that, like, you know, I guess someone who's – and we're getting better at it. We are really getting better at it. But, like, someone who's maybe had a vocal injury that's coming back from a vocal injury, like, they just see that, oh, they're now in, I don't know, Frozen. And it's like, yeah, they are, and that's incredible, but they've done all this hard work and all this stuff. But people go, oh, well, you know, why aren't the good things happening to me? And it's like, but you have to go through the shit to get the good.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think, it's really good that we're slow. I think we're slowly trying to, we're getting better at it. But yeah, I think it's, it's a double-edged sword because I think it's important. Like, I always know if I see or hear something or whatever that's really good, I always try and be like, you know, that was amazing to that person. Because sometimes we're also in a world where we don't love to, like, compliment in person anymore. We compliment over social media. Do you know what I mean?
Do you mean like you don't want to be sort of like weird about it or like fangirly or something like that? Yeah, 100%.
You know, like I said, I'm such a little nerd. But I went to see A Little Night Music the other week.
I was so bummed I missed it. It was so beautiful. Good.
And I was watching Nancy Hayes and just was like in awe that she just is so beautiful, so committed, still has that amazing like twinkle in her eye.
Yeah.
And then I got to work the next day and I was doing the matinee and we were halfway through one of the numbers, Wonderful, which is Todd McKenney's number as the wizard.
Yeah.
And I caught myself being like, oh my gosh, like that's, you know, that's Todd McKenney and he's incredible. You know what I mean? And then I got off stage and I told him and I was like, this is going to sound really fangirly, but. And he was like, no, that's actually so nice to hear because, you know, like it's just so cool. And I think too, like, you know, someone like him is had an incredible career.
Oh, yeah.
And just to, you know, still get the, I don't know, confidence and not confidence, but like, still get those little positive tidbits, you know?
Yeah, would be nice.
And
maybe
I guess
people think like, oh no, they don't need to hear it. Like they already know. Like they're Todd McKenney. Like they don't need me to tell them how amazing they are. But sometimes like it's a compliment can never be a bad thing.
100%.
Unless it's like creepy. Unless you're like,
I like your supple
hand skin or something. I don't know. just don't be weird about it. Oh,
exactly. You know? It's so true.
Do you get nervous for Elphaba still?
Or? I get nervous sometimes. Feel like I get nervous when like my family are in.
Yeah.
Because I just want to do a really good job for them.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because they're like, you could fall over and we'd still love it, you know. Aww. And I'm like, no, it needs to be perfect.
You could do a shit in your pants and it would be great.
Literally.
Yeah.
Aww. I don't know. I should read it to you, actually. I had because also I'm not used to the new, I guess, world of social media as well with, like, all the fans and stuff. Like messaging
and Wicked has such a huge,
big fan base. Yeah. And I think, like, I don't think I realized the effect that the show has on people. Like, it has a real effect on people in different ways. Like, I think they love seeing, like, the female friendship grow and form and that kind of thing. But I think a lot of people also connect with Elphaba because she is a bit of the odd one out.
Yeah.
And we're all the odd one out at some point in our lives. You know what I mean? Like we all feel like that at some point. There's no way that we're always like, you know, we're in it. We're always in the in group or whatever. Like,
yeah, totally.
well, you know, you have moments where you're like, I feel totally alone or whatever it may be. And I think a lot of people relate to that. And, you know, I've had some beautiful interactions with some people at Stage Door that have just really gone on the journey with, I don't like that word, but, you know, like with the show, yeah, watching it and how much it affects them. And I think that's so amazing. And we've also had a lot of school groups in,
yeah,
which is really cool. And we had a few Q&As and things like that. And I had this girl, I'm going to find it.
Yes, show me.
I was actually like, I had this girl who wanted to ask a question at the Q&A, but we had just so many questions. Mm. So she was like, she found me on Instagram and was like, oh, I want to try and, you know, ask you my question. And I was like, yeah, of course. I wonder if I can find it. Maybe it's this one. I hope it is. Oh, yes. She asked me what advice I would give to my younger self. And I was like, I know that's a very generic question and people ask it all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I guess in theatre it's a good question.
Yeah.
Because it's not even sometimes your younger self. It could be yourself from like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Still younger.
Still young.
You know what I'm saying?
We're still young. Hey? Hey?
We're younger, but we're still young today.
We're still young. It's fun. And I said to her,
what did you say?
I said, her name was Grace. She was very lovely.
Grace.
And I said, I would tell my younger self to work hard, always be the first one in the room and the last to leave. Never take any opportunity for granted because you never know where it may lead you in the future.
Aww.
Stay true to yourself, stay grounded, and always have your own back no matter what. So I think that's really important.
Zoe, yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
No, that's fine. I just thought, it's kind of cool to like, I think it's also a really amazing thing. And I've watched, you know, I've watched the likes of Marina and Amy LaPalmer and stuff like that be such amazing role models to younger generations and to me growing up.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, I find it really cool that hopefully I'm being that for the generation now, that are coming through.
Definitely.
So I think, I think that's cool, and hopefully I'm having a good effect on them.
Absolutely. How could you not? You're having a good effect on me. I'm like, next time I'm doing a job, like 100%. First one there, last one out. Don't take it for granted. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. I think that's the perfect place to say goodbye on. But thank you so much for coming in and having a chat with me today.
Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much, Zoe.
Thanks, Poochie.
Bye. Alrighty, everyone, that is it from me this week, but thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you loved that conversation with Zoe just as much as I did. She's so incredible. Thank you so much for coming on, and I really appreciate her giving up her valuable time to come and chat on the podcast. I will be back in your ears next week with the final episode of 2023. Then I'll be having a little bit of a break and then coming back in mid-Jan. So don't forget to tune in next week. If you did want to buy me a coffee, the link is in the description on this podcast and also on Instagram. If you wanted to leave a review, that would be absolutely amazing. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram at Life on Tour Pod. But until we meet again, bye.